Are we glad?
Yes.
Are you glad? Jesus has come. My cup's overrun. Are we glad?
Yes.
All right. The book of Ephesians, where we're at tonight. I've told you a million times, I think, over the last 21 years.
Put your bikes on them.
Pardon?
Put your bikes on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Colossians and Ephesians are my most favorite books. And that's not why I'm teaching it, but I just want you to know they're my most favorite books. Of all the Bible, well, I've read through the Bible, but I probably have spent more time in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians than any other books of the Bible, then Galatians, then Romans, trying to learn how to be a Christian, then the books to the Corinthian church, trying to learn how to be a Christian. And can I tell you this, after 40 years, over 40 years of intense study, I've not learned how yet. I'm having problems. Don't know about y'all, but I'm having problems. And I have found the reason. I know exactly why that I'm having problems, and the reason is that I'm rebellious.
Right, that's right.
That's why. I'm rebellious to the Word of God. And that's about as simple. So if you're having problems, you might want to try to investigate that area of your life, if you're having a problem being a Christian, because chances are you're rebellious too.
Right.
All right? Chances are. I have found that though I want to be a Christian the way the Bible says, I would rather do what Mark likes.
Right. Yep.
So I'm trying to do better. All right? So if you're having problems, just kind of look in the mirrors. All right? Everybody all right? All right. Well, everybody got a paper?
Yes.
All right. Now, I don't know that we'll get that paper done. It would be a miracle if we got through all of it. And because we're not going to hurry, just like we didn't hurry through Colossians. And I don't want to bore you with the Bible, but we're having Bible study, and we're going to go slow and word by word, verse by verse, word by word, and milk everything we can out of the Scripture that it might enlighten our soul. That we might be what we're supposed to be. All right? All right. Let's pray together. Father, I come just now. You are wonderful. We've sung about you. We've studied about you today. We've sung about you tonight. We assemble together in fellowship, and it's exciting that we get to come to church. Lord, I wish that we could be more excited to do the things that you would have us to do. We get excited for the world. It seems like we dampen the spirit when it comes to your things. Lord, help us to hide your word in our heart that we may not sin against you. And Lord, that'll help us more than anything. I pray for help tonight. Lord, give us power. Give me power. Give me power to teach, but give us power to listen, to accept, and then to apply. And Lord, I pray that we might just not apply it in the building, that we might apply it outside the church walls, that we might walk as you want us to walk. Lord, you're wonderful to me. Answer many, many prayers. And Lord, I'm trusting you for many more others. And I know that you're faithful. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. All right. If you look at your paper, we're going to go by just a little bit there to get everybody on the same page as we look at the epistle of Paul, the apostle to the Ephesians, to the church Ephesus. And again, my reason for teaching Ephesians and Colossians is to stress our position in Christ and his position in the church. Now, the reason that's important, if you know where you're at in Christ, and you understand where you're at in Christ, then that's going to help you. And then if you understand where Christ is in the church, then that's going to help all of us, because we're not the main character. Jesus is the main character, and he is the center of the church. So the writings to the Ephesians and to the church there at Ephesus and Colossae, there at Philippi, all these. There was a false doctrine in the land. Ephesus was in an evil place. A lot of evil going on. Idolatry in the town of Ephesus. They were not some little country side road church, but they was in a metropolis. It was a city with thousands upon thousands, and they was as much sin as you can imagine. Sin, religious sin, to the point of prostitution in the temples and even homosexual prostitution in the temples. It was filthy. It was the people of Corinth, the people of Ephesus, all these people were just they were just sinners, is what they were. And so Paul was writing under the leadership of the Holy Ghost. He's writing a letter to them to keep them in their place in Christ, that they might not be counted out or drawn away from other religions. All right. Now, they fought that, and they was victors over that. But if you go back and read in the Revelation, when John wrote to the churches, the seven churches of Asia there, and when he wrote to Ephesus, he commended them for the stand they had taken, but they had got so pointed in what they were against and knew what they were against that they forgot who they was for.
Yeah, right.
Now, a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll gladly state what all we're against, but we'll lose focus on who we're for.
Right.
All right? Think about that. And Christ is the center. All right? Now, it comes right down to our worship. Let me ask you this. When you come to worship, did you come to worship tonight? When you come to worship, did you come to worship Him or did you come to worship? See, a lot of times we worship because that's how we worship. And we're more concentrating on how we've always done it than who we're doing it for. Okay? When you sing a song, do you sing the song because of the song, or do you sing the song because of who it's about? When you praise the Lord through the song, are you praising the Lord? Well, I hope we sing that song. Well, is it because of that song, or is it because of the one the song talks about? You understand what I'm saying? See, we lose focus. Sometimes we're so busy on standing on right that we forget the one we're standing for. Everybody follow me? And Paul is writing here this letter, and the Lord is the one directing him to do this, that they might see their position in Christ. Now, we're not interested in our position in society. We're not interested in our position as far as a hierarchy goes in the church body. But his position in the church, everybody understand that? His position, our position in Christ, His position in the church. Everybody listen to me. There's a vast difference there. Our position in Christ, His position in the church. Okay? Now, there's a lot of church leaders, a lot of church elders. The Protestant movement. All right? Listen carefully. The Protestant movement. Baptists are not Protestant. Okay, the Protestant movement is anything that come out of the Catholic Church. Every one of them have a hierarchy. All right, Catholicism has its own hierarchy. All right, the Pope and the Archbishops and the Cardinals and the Bluebirds and all of them, the whole thing. All right, then you've got the Presbyterians have a hierarchy. All right, Lutheran have a hierarchy. They all have boards. They all have, they set people in place. The Methodists, the same way. All right. The Methodists, now they have found the truth out about some of the Methodists now. And now the Methodists is going to, the society or the, United Methodists is going to shut them down. They can't even get their buildings. They got to buy their buildings that they already bought when they made the building, to suit the hierarchy of the Methodist Church. And just so you'll know, the Methodists come out of the Catholic Church. The Methodists come out of the Catholic Church, the Lutheran, the Presbyterian, all of these, all right? Now, the reason Paul's writing this, again, to see who is the head of the church, it's not a man, it is the man, Christ Jesus, all right? The God-man, it's not an ordinary man. Everybody's still with me now. So, and that's what all this pertains to, all right? Christ is the center. Now we saw in Colossians, as Christ is the head of the church, we saw in Colossians the preeminence of Christ in the church. Does everybody still follow me? Seven ways. We looked at seven different things. I don't expect you to remember them, but seven different areas that Christ had the preeminence. Now, Ephesians is going to show us the church as the body of Christ, and that's where we come in at. Does everybody understand that? The sufficiency of our position in Christ and in the church. Everybody follow me? All right. Now, just so you understand, we're going to look at some of that in Christ here, because that's some of the greatest verses in that. And you ought to mark each one of these in your Bible. All right, but no less than 75 times the phrase in Christ is used from Romans to 1 Peter in the epistles there. At least 75 times just the term in Christ is used. In Christ. That's how important it is. 164 times. For all the way through the New Testament, 164 times in Paul's writing, in Christ, in the Lord, or in Him is used. Well, it's pretty important. That's how mighty that doctrine is that we are in Christ. 164 times. It's in Romans and 1st to 2nd Corinthians, all the way down through, okay? In Christ, in the Lord, or in Him. And that's because knowing our position, I got this wrote down, and you need to remember this, knowing our position in Christ and in the church will enable us to recognize false doctrine immediately. If we know where we're at in Christ, then we'll know whether or not they're teaching the right thing when it comes to the doctrine of Christ. And if we know our position in the church and who's the head of the church, we'll know right very quickly. That's why it's so important, all right? So just to give you some examples, let's look here. And we're just going to look at Ephesians and Colossians here. Ephesians chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful where at? In Christ Jesus. See, it's so important. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where at? In Christ. In Christ. Drop down to verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things where? In Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. And we could add that as well. We're just looking at the in Christ, but there it's in Christ in Him. We've got to, it's more important than I can stress. Everybody understand that? Now we told you this when we went through Colossians, but here it is in Ephesians. Now Ephesians, we'll look later, is the first prison epistle. Alright, it's the very first prison epistle that was written, and it goes along, it and Colossians goes together. But let's look here now. Let's drop down to verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. In Christ. Drop down to verse 20. It says, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. I mean, that's so important. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. It says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. in Christ. All right. Drop down to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. All right. Everybody still with me? Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. All right? Now, that's just in Ephesians. That's very few verses that we look through, really, and see how many times it's in Christ. Now, flip back over in Colossians. We remind you that it goes together. Colossians, look at verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren, where? In Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Now, you got to remember, when we're saved, it's our faith in Christ that saves us. It's not our faith in a plan. It's not our faith in a prayer. It's not our faith in a program. It's not our faith in a preacher. It's our faith in the person, Christ Jesus. Now, that's as important as it gets. I mean, that is as major as it gets, that it's in Christ. That throws away all religion. All right? Christ is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Do you know that you can't be a Christian without believing in Christ? Do you know that? You have to believe in Christ to be a Christian. You have to be. Think about that. That is so simple. Look at that verse 28, chapter 1, Colossians, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 28. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, we could have went ahead and started in Romans and read every one of them, but that was not necessary because we're just looking at Ephesians and Colossians, okay? But that's how important it is just in these two books, just in 90-some verses. All right, 90-some verses in Colossians, 78 of them are the same in Ephesians, okay, of the 90-some verses in Colossians. All right, they run together. And look how many times it tells us in Christ or in Christ Jesus. Now, if we go back and lay in Him or in the Lord, I mean, it's going to be even more, okay? So everybody gets the point how important it is. Now, when we start here in Ephesians, now we're just going to give you an overview here tonight. Ephesians is going to show us the riches in Christ and in the church. We're going to see how rich we have it. How what all we have. We have so much for any Christian, for any of us, not to have a shout on our lips at all times. It's a shame if we don't, when we see what all we have in Christ. It don't matter what the world has dealt you. It don't matter how sorrow or sadness has come. It don't matter what Christ has given us or what we have in Christ is so amazing that it lifts anybody up. Okay? Think about that. Now, what we're going to see, let's look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. We're going to see that the church... We're looking at Christ in the church now. When we look in Ephesians, we're thinking about Christ in the church. Everybody with me? His position in the church. Our position in Him and His position in the church. Everybody with me? So your position in the church, local church, don't matter. Where you're the pastor, the deacon, now that's important. Officer, sure. Sunday school teacher, this and that. That's okay. But them are offices that man has made for organization. But man has nothing to do with our position in Christ or in the body. That's all what Christ has done. Everybody understand? And in the church body, in the local church, in the organization of this local believers, there is preference. there is respecter of persons. Because people that's doing things are showed more respect. But not in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there is no respecter of persons. In the body of Christ, everybody's the same right across the board. And Christ is the head. And Christ is the center. And Christ gets all the preeminence. And Christ gets all the glory. And the body is equal. Because the Bible says that every member is necessary. Even the comely parts are necessary. Everybody with me? So that way Christ, so the only time you're going to find any respecter of persons is when man's involved. But not when Christ is involved. Everybody understand? Now, let's go back to simplicity here. God provided salvation, yes or no? And he provided a different salvation for every person. No. It's the same salvation for everybody. Correct? So everybody gets saved the exact same way. Right? Now, salvation lasts the same for everybody. Right? So you get it the same way and it lasts the same amount of time. Right? So it's equal. It's equal. Everybody understand that? One body, one head, and one body of born again believers of wherever they're at, wherever they're from. If they've put their faith in Jesus Christ, to many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Is that what it says? That's what Rick taught us in Sunday school. All right, so Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23 says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We're talking about the church, his body, his body. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We're going to find a verse here in a moment that's going to say about the bride. All right, talking about his wife. How can it be his body and his bride both? How can it be both? How can it be his body? Well, if we go back to the first man, Adam. Everybody still follow me? We go back to the first man, Adam. God put him to sleep. And out of his body, he got a what? He got a wife. Right? When Christ died on Calvary and he pierced his side, what flowed out? Blood. How someone saved, they're born again, they're washed in the blood. Same way that the church is his body, as Eve was a part of Adam's body, then the church is a part of Christ's body. I believe we'll find in Acts that he purchased the church with his blood. Is that not right? Does everybody understand? So we can be his body, we can be his blood. It's all him. Does everybody follow me? That wasn't too deep, was it? Look at chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. It says, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Alright? We're talking about the church. Alright? In whom all the building. We're talking about the body of Christ. Alright? The body, the temple. Look at chapter 3. Verse 4. It says, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge. Let me read that again, because my tongue got tongue. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Here, the body of Christ, the church of Christ, is talking about a mystery. The old prophets couldn't see that. They didn't see the church age. They saw Christ coming, and they saw him coming again. They didn't see the valley of the church age. They didn't see the darkness of the persecution of the Christian. They didn't see everything after what happened after the resurrection. They didn't see none of that. All right, and it's been dark days since Christ arose. It's been dark days for the body of Christ, of martyrs, by the millions of martyrs and everything. And the prophets didn't see that. They just seen the glory. And it's a mystery. And Paul reveals the mystery that we are something. Paul reveals to us and shows us that because we're in Christ, we are something. This is why we shouldn't hang our heads. This is why we, though we be persecuted, Paul wrote about the troubled and not in despair and all these things. What we have in Christ is far greater. Do you understand that? Talk to me if you understand what I'm saying. Look in chapter 4, verse 13. Now we're going to go back through this verse by verse, but we're just giving you an overview. Look in verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto a perfect man, it says verse 13. A new man, that's that new man. That's that new creation in Christ Jesus. All right, we still okay? How about chapter 5? Chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Here, it's a comparison of husbands and wives and the church. And we're the bride of Christ. Everybody still with me? All right? Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it talks about all the armor. And there we see a comparison that we are a soldier. We're a soldier. This is all we are. This is just great things. Is there anything bad there? The body's great. The temple's great. The mystery, it's a wonderful thing. A new man, the bride, and the soldiers. Everybody still with me tonight? Now, we said there a while ago that Ephesians was the first prison epistle written from Rome, all right, when Paul was in the prison in Rome. And he had four prison letters that he wrote, all right. And we have them written down there for you. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21. The church, the letter to the Ephesians was delivered by Tychius, all right. Ephesians 6, 21. But that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. He delivered the letter and explained, read the letter to him. That's what Tychius done. All right? Everybody still with me? Look in Philippians chapter 4. Epaphroditus is the one who delivered the letter to Philippi. All right, look at verse 18, chapter 4, verse 18. It says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Epaphroditus was the one who was corresponding between the church of Philippi and Paul when he was in jail. And that's where the letters, that's how the letters was delivered. All right, Epaphras. In Colossians chapter 4. Everybody still following me? Colossians chapter 4. Look here at verse 7. It says, all my state shall Tychius declare unto you. Now Tychius and Epaphras both were included in delivering this letter to Colossae. All right. It says, and all my state shall Tychius declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. All right, drop down to verse 9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known to you all things which are done here. So they all work together, Tychius, Onesimus, and Epaphras. All right, Onesimus delivered the one to Philemon. All right, everybody still with me? Look at verse 12, chapter 4, verse 12. And Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, salute you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. All right, and then turn over to Philemon or Philemon. I've heard it pronounced both ways. Philemon's what I always call him. What do y'all call it? Philemon and Philemon, so either way, we're going to look at it. Verse 10. Verse 10 talks about this letter to Philemon. We know the story, and it's concerning Onesimus anyway. And I beseech thee therefore, my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. He brought the letter that was for his freedom, if you read the whole chapter there. All right, so that's who delivered these letters of Paul. So he's in prison. The reason I have that in there says, well, Paul was in prison. How do they get all this? Well, this is how they done it. He wrote them, then they were delivered. And then they were delivered and then read. And that pretty plain. Can I show you something? And I'm sure I've told you before. Turn over to Philippians. Turn over to Philippians. And look how plain the letters are. Look in chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. And I always loved the way Paul wrote, because he never held nothing back. He was very plain. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Then look what he says in verse 2. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. They wasn't getting along. And he just included that in the letter. Y'all go ahead and straighten that. Yeah. I just thought that's funny that he writes that. And the only thing I can figure is that they got told on. You know? What did he write to Timothy? He said, Alexander the coppersmith has done me wrong. Make sure, you know, wouldn't that be something? Wonder how Alexander the coppersmith's family felt, because it's written in the eternal word of God that their daddy done the Apostle Paul wrong. I mean, he won't make sure. Want to make sure that Hymenaeus and what was the other name? Now they got off the book to make sure. I mean, when Paul wrote a letter, it meant something. I want you to understand it's from the Lord, and he's directing us. Everybody understand the seriousness of the writing of the scripture? Talk to me if you understand what I'm saying. All right. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Now I don't know. I'm sure some of y'all probably have a favorite verse in Ephesians. I've been studying, trying to find what would be the theme verse of Ephesians, and I can't find one theme verse, because they're all great. They all really say the same thing. So what I done is I highlighted some to show you just how important the doctrine, the teaching is in the book of Ephesians. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 2 and see if y'all think these two verses are important. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I believe them be two very important verses. Can you agree to that? I mean, if there's any important verses in Ephesians, that might be the most important. That we're saved by grace through faith. Huh? Not by works. All right? Then, look in chapter 1. Look in chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. I think that's pretty great verse right there. That I wasn't accepted, but now I'm made accepted by the works of His grace. What do you think about that? I'm allowed to go in. Huh? How about that? That all right there, buddy? How about verse 7? Wonder if this is, you reckon this is important? Huh? In whom? Huh? Not in what, but in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. See, now how would I distinguish between chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and chapter 1, verse 6, chapter 1? I can distinguish which is the most important. They're all important, right? How about Ephesians 5, 18? You think this might be important? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I think that's a pretty important verse too, don't you? See, how can we distinguish? Look at the doctrine. Look at the teaching that's wrapped around just them four passages of Scripture. It's amazing what's there. That's how important these epistles are. So that's why we're teaching it. That's why we want to go verse by verse. The teaching is more than we could even comprehend. Let's go back to chapter 2. Look at verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, we're brought close by the blood. I mean, how are you going to beat that verse? Anybody else got one? I thought after when I wrote them down, I said, I just wonder. Does anybody else want to read one? Anybody else want to pick one out of Ephesians that just wears you out? Anybody got one you want to, we'll read it. I mean, they're all good, are they not? I just can't find much any better than what I just read to you. Let me understand. Now, this is the importance of the epistles. Now, when we say, oh, man, that's going to be the same thing as Colossae. Well, that's okay. Chris, he asked me a while back if I would give him a list of what books of the Bible go together. All right, because we've been talking about Colossians and Ephesians running together. And he said, what else runs together? What else goes together? Well, we knew, Brother Rick taught us that Leviticus and Hebrews go together. Right? And that's about all we've ever really talked about. Right? Until we got to doing some digging and I got Chris a paper there. I wish I had it. You ain't got it in your Bible, do you? And Proverbs and James, they go together. If you think about that, Proverbs and James got a lot about the mouth. You know, lot there. Isaiah and the Gospels. Isaiah and the Gospels, because Isaiah talks about Christ and Him coming, and the Gospels bring him to light. All right. What else was it? Genesis and Romans. Genesis and Romans go together. Genesis, the first man, Adam. Romans, the second man, Adam. Of these things. The new creation, even in some in Corinthians. Genesis and the old creation, and then the new creation in Christ. So everything comes together. So when you study one, you're not going to just study one place. You're going to have to study the whole Bible. But these are important. We're still okay. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. We still got time, Ephesians chapter 1. And let's start, if we can, on the book of Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So Paul is who God is using to write this letter, and he says he is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. All right. Now he wasn't with Christ in his earthly ministry. All right. To be an apostle, there were some qualifications for an apostle. So let's see. It says now he's an apostle by the will of God. Is that what it says? Talk to me if you hear what I'm saying. All right, so let's look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Judas has done hung himself. All right, they're getting ready to get him another apostle, to get him another somebody to replace Judas. And they write down a couple of things here. Luke does here in the book of Acts. He writes down a couple of things that they're going to have to make sure that is necessary. All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 21. It says, wherefore these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So to be an apostle, there were some guidelines. They had to be involved in his earthly ministry from his baptism all the way to his ascension. They had to see the resurrected Christ. Okay? That's what it says there, ain't it? All right? And they had to be appointed by Christ. Because that's what he done. He called them to follow him. Everybody understand that? That's why there's no modern day apostles. Because nobody qualifies them three things. Everybody follow me? So when you see some of these denominations that have the apostles, so and so, that's not true. That's not true. Okay? Now, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll see if we can clarify something here, that there's not a contradiction, and nor is the Apostle Paul out of order. Remember, we read in Ephesians that he was an apostle by the will of God. Everybody understand that? Not by his own choosing, but by the will of God. Now, this is vitally important, because people are always wanting to take away, instead of take the scripture for what it says, they want to take away to try to damage the scripture. Ephesians 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's start at verse 7. It says, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now, Paul's writing his church to Corinth. He's talking about the resurrection of the gospel, the resurrection of Christ. Let's back up and read so we get make sure we're together. Let's go back and start at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15 says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen as Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. They died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, we're talking about the resurrected Christ. Look what he says. And last of all, he was seen of me also. All right, so what was one of the qualifications of an apostle? He had to see the resurrected. He had to eyeball the resurrected Christ. Well, he did see him. All right, he says, and last of all, he was seen of me as of one born out of due time. So he's showing, he's what's the word they use? What's the start? Vindication. He's vindicating his apostleship. He's proving his apostleship, okay? Verse 9 then says, for I am the least of the apostles, okay, that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. All right, saying he persecuted and he didn't even think he deserved to be one, but he is one by the will of God. Now, let's look back in Acts and see where he was chosen. All right? Now, the one thing that we can't show you is that where he was in a ministry from Christ's baptism of John all the way to his ascension, but he says he was one born out of due season. So he explains why he wasn't there in a ministry of Christ's earthly ministry. Does everybody follow me? But look here where he was chosen. Acts chapter 9. Am I making sense to anybody here? Acts chapter 9. Let's look at verse 15. This is concerning Paul. He just got through meeting Christ on the Damascus Road. All right. Had his conversation with him. And now look what verse 15 says. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. The Lord is telling Ananias, right, he is handpicking Paul right here. He said, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. All right. So there God himself, the Lord Jesus himself, is appointing Paul in the ministry. Everybody understand? So that is the same way he appointed James and John and Peter and Andrew and Nathaniel and the rest of them there in the book of John. All right, when he chose them, he stops and he chooses Paul the same. So he qualifies to be an apostle according to scripture. Does everybody understand me? or anybody but anybody other than Jerry Rush understand. All right. And you say, why is this important? Well, to rightly divide the scripture, you always need to know who's speaking, who's being spoken to, and what's being spoken about. And if you think Paul's just an ordinary guy, then you're not going to get it. You're going to have to understand that he's God's mouthpiece in a whole new setting. Preaching about grace and faith and the church and the body of Christ, something that they had no clue about. And we better pay attention that it's the words right off of God's mouth. All right? Is everybody still with me? All right. Now, this letter back to Ephesians chapter 1. Am I okay with everybody? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 2 now shows us this message is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to finish this paper. I didn't think we could, but I think we can. All right, give me just a minute here. Look at verse 3. If you'll start at verse 3, I want you to notice that it's one sentence till you get through verse 14. It's just one sentence. All of them verses is one sentence. There's no stop. All right? Verses 3 through 14 is just one sentence. Everybody follow me? So we got to maintain a one big complete thought here. Okay? Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The Father blesses all believers with all spiritual blessings. These are not gifts. This has nothing to do with the gifts to the letters of the Church of Corinth. But these are blessings that every believer will get. And you can go down through there and find them through the scripture. And what we're talking about is that we're chosen, we're redeemed, we have eternal security, we have forgiveness, we have adoption, we have an inheritance, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, we have a promised companionship and guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we already have it all. We're not going to get it, but we already got it all. We was given it that the moment we had put our faith in Jesus Christ, that we was blessed with all of these heavenly blessings. Is everybody still with me? They're already finished, already available. Now, if you'll notice how I got it worded there, it says this says hath, past tense, already, we got it now, already finished, that's one word already, already available, but then I got two words, already. They're all of them are ready. It's just not already, but they're all of them ready now at our disposal. Do you understand? This is things we enjoy. When we start, look at this, and ain't no way I'm going to have to stop right here, and this, we're going to stop on a high note. If you can't get no joy out of being chosen, redeemed, being eternally secure, being forgiven, being adopted, having an inheritance, being sealed, and have a promised companionship of the Holy Ghost and a constant guide of the Holy Ghost. If you can't get happy over that, then there ain't no help for you. Because that's the spiritual blessings of heavenly things. Heavenly blessings because we're not no longer secular. Our life is Christ, and our blessings are spiritual. Let's go home.